Noon Hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Up. Let's go. Let's do it. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. How are you?
Why is it when Lloyd gives this instruction, I want to do the opposite?
I know,
just,
right?
And now I just want to...
Well, that's not good. That's not good for me and what I do then. If you want to do the opposite of everything I say...
Lloyd said, can we just hurry and get into the starter today? Because people don't really care about what you guys do.
Hans, I went to this great restaurant on Saturday night. Ate some great Thai food.
It is like, nobody cares. Just get into the starter. And let's get to the important stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, I think people care. I mean, you and I, and Lloyd, we all live different, interesting lives.
Yeah.
We all have our own things going, and it's fun to share those things together. And so we like to take the first, 20 to 22
25 minutes yeah.
of the show.
You ain't joking.
I had some
pretty accurate, actually.
I had a text from somebody. It's like, who texted me last week. He's like, I love the show, but I want to hear Sweet 16. You guys are talking about facial hair. I'm having a hard time.
Oh, okay. Boo. We'll talk about the Sweet 16. We got a lot of college basketball to talk about.
I'm fanboying out today, too.
Yeah, I don't ever see you wear gear.
I don't. I'm a big anti. In fact, my wife's like, you have a big anti-gear in public stance. And I'm like, it's NC State. Like, it's not like I'm putting on BYU, Utah, or Utah State gear.
Where'd you get this?
So I spent about 5 months of my life. I did the LDS mission thing in Raleigh. And 5 months of my life was spent on the NC State campus.
Uh-huh.
So this is a throwback. That I bought this in 1997.
I can tell because of the way it fits.
Yeah.
Dude. You have lost so much weight. It is crazy. Anyways, but it looks good.
But yeah, I don't,
And it says Wolfpack across the front.
Wolfpack. It's in red. I'm ready to go. That was so much fun yesterday. And so I've always identified a little bit with NC State. They have a little bit of a Utah State vibe there where I ultimately went to school and graduated from. So yeah, I've always been kind of a closet NC State fan, and I'm going to fan out today. And
good for you.
Rock the gear.
Yeah, you know what? I'll fan out a little bit, too, because I feel like DJ Burns is me playing basketball.
He's us.
Yeah.
He's our people.
He is. DJ Burns, the real deal, man. And of all the matchups that we've got going in the world of basketball,
yeah,
number one for me in all the college basketball year is going to be Caitlin Clark.
I know. I'm glued to my TV.
And the Bayou Barbie. That is number one. Number two in my books for all year is going to be Mr. Burns versus the Almighty Edie.
Yep.
And that is going to be happening on Saturday, right?
Correct.
So Saturday you've got Burns versus Edie. And I don't know what happens there. You watch Burns' footwork when he gets the ball in the low post. It's good.
And he's got the girth that he can create some problems. Maybe. Perhaps. I don't know. Well, I mean, Edie's still going to get his 25 and 15.
Because he's going to get his fouls. But will they be as likely to call a foul against Burns, who's the same size, and if he stays upright? And I mean, if you got a guy that can really press on Edie, maybe that makes the difference in the post.
I am fascinated by this. I am fascinated by this matchup.
Okay, so I know Burns was a transfer portal pickup, and I was listening to his comments. They were like, well, what happened? Because you guys wouldn't even have made the tournament if you didn't win.
Coach would have been fired.
Coach would have been fired.
And all Virginia needed to do is make one free throw, and the coach probably gets fired, and we never hear about NC State ever again.
Ever. We don't hear about Burns or NC State or none of this. And he said, it's just interesting. Everybody started being to time on practice, and when he said that, I was like, oh, my gosh, dude. He's simplifying teamwork. Like down to the finest points. He said, nobody's causing problems off the court. We all show up for practice on time. Everybody stopped complaining. And I guess we all just kind of got on the same page. It was like, this light bulb goes off. It's like, that's team sports.
Yep.
And if you can get your players to buy into it, you can win a championship. You know, Scotty, I was really bummed because when Tony Dungy, when they fired Jim Mora with the Indianapolis Colts and they hired Tony Dungy, and Dungy came in that first year, I was like, oh, this guy, because he was a player's coach.
Yeah.
He was all about the details, down to the finest detail. Every little thing had to be in its right order. And I had a couple of years with Tony, and then I got released. I knew that Tony was going to win a championship with Peyton Manning. It was just a matter of time because everybody had bought in.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of time because Tom Moore and Peyton Manning had their offensive system going. Tony Dungy brought in these defensive ideas, and I knew it was a matter of time. And I was like, oh, if I could have just hung on.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
a couple more years.
And boy, it was like the next year or two, wasn't it? Two years?
Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 2 years. And they went and won a Super Bowl, but that's what it is, man. It's just teammates, players buying in.
I got to imagine it's got to be fun when you're part of a team when it clicks like that. Because and I've talked to enough coaches where it can be just like that. All of a sudden, you know, one game or one moment. Gary Anderson always talks about the game with Utah State played at Hawaii, and they came back from a big deficit, won that game, and then eventually went to a bowl game. And he goes, it was just an audible, like, click where the light just went on.
Yeah.
And then we never lost a game ever again that season, you know? And, like, that happens all the time. You know, this goes back to UConn did this in, like, 2004, where they won 5 games in 5 days to win the Big East tournament and ended up winning an NCAA title.
Yeah.
I don't think NC State beats Purdue, but I'm not ruling it out. I'm certainly not going to Wendover and making a bet against them, that's for sure.
Not a chance. Not a chance because they're doing everything well. They're hitting on the outside. They're working well down low. They're playing defense. Their transition D is ridiculous. You watch them move up the court. When there's any type of fast break, all the tipped out dribbles, everything that they're doing, just quick hands, ultimate effort. I'm not.
And I could watch DJ Burns play basketball all day.
Yeah.
And just
pretty fun.
And just the absolute joy in which he plays the game, too.
How good is Edie versus Burns?
Oh, I can't wait. But you're right. You're right. The big matchup.
Is Reese and Clark the number one for you, or is it Edie
Burns? Well, it's Edie and Burns. Yeah. But
for me, it's
Caitlin Clark and
Angel Reese.
Angel Reese is the number two.
And I want Edie to lose so bad.
Oh, you do?
I do, too.
Whoa.
There's just something like...
I've seen he's rubbing people.
Over people. He's just running over people because he's bigger than
and again,
him.
He gets every call, too.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, I don't think that's quite right. But
I've seen he's rubbing people the wrong way.
Hooking people as he's making a move. Like,
and this has been going on all season long. And, you know, I follow a lot of college basketball people on Twitter, and there have been a lot of noise coming out of the Big Ten complaining about Edie and foul calls and not getting them. Like,
was this when you were preparing for the...
Well, no, just all season long, because Edie was a big story all year long.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just people that you follow and they're like, wow, this dude never gets called and is just hacking people. And there were a lot of complaints coming out of the Big Ten. And I'm like, whatever, you know. And then I watched it against Utah State and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I see it. I see why people can be grumpy with this guy. Absolutely.
Because what do you do?
Yeah, he's just, and I was talking to an official who officiates a lot at the junior college level, and I was asking about him, and he said, he goes, it's impossible to officiate a guy like that who's just so much bigger and stronger than everybody else. It's really hard.
The other thing is, you can't get him out of his game.
No.
Like, if I had a guy like Hafa Araújo.
That would be a good matchup for him.
You know, throw Hafa at him and let Hafa hack the hell out of him and try to get him out of his game and tick him off. You didn't think you were going to get a Hafa rap?
Nope, I didn't.
And that was not on your bingo board today.
Nope.
Huh?
And it made me like hurry up and reach to grab my Hafa drop because I do have a Hafa drop.
What's the Hafa
drop? The laugh?
The laugh.
What is that one? I don't think I've heard the Hafa.
Oh, yeah, you've heard this. Yeah.
How far are we going back with
Hafa? We're going 20 years here.
I do remember that laugh. Well, we got some great stuff to get to today. Our opener, not so much,
but it is something that we do need to talk about, and obviously our thoughts and prayers with the Azanic family. So let's get to it. Starting lineup right now.
This is Hans and Scotty G. clock is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans, boy, difficult story to talk about, difficult story to read, but Justin Zanuck and the Jazz announcing today that he will undergo a kidney transplant. He'd been experiencing reduced kidney function throughout the 2023-2024 season due to a polycystic kidney disease, and will receive a new kidney tomorrow. He received that donation via the National Kidney Registry, which links living donors with receipts in need of a healthy kidney. It goes a step further because this is a disease that's genetic. Immediately, his kids who have been dealing with, and I talked to his wife at a function. I think it was that function that you and I went to a bunch of years ago. I was sitting at a table with him and his wife, and she had mentioned that she was raising money for a lot of unknown illnesses that her kids were dealing with. And when they found out that this was a genetic issue, the kids were then tested, and they will essentially, all three of them, need a kidney transplant before they're 30.
Jeez. Because of the PKD.
Yeah. And so our thoughts are certainly with the family.
Before they're 30?
Before they're 30, I believe, is what the story, the Adrian Wojnarowski story said.
So I want to play some of this sound from Justin Zanuck. A couple of things to keep in mind. I think this is just, it's incredible. The system that we've set up for kidneys is incredible. This National Kidney Registry, so what you do, Scotty, let's say your kidneys stop tomorrow and you need a new kidney. You could go to Lloyd and you could say, hey, Lloyd, are you willing to donate a kidney? And this is how it works. If Lloyd donates a kidney to the National Kidney Registry, they'll take his kidney and make it available for the person that his kidney fits, and then they'll take a kidney that was donated by somebody that needed a kidney, their relative or friend, and they'll take that one that matches you and put it in you. Is that,
yeah,
that makes sense?
Yeah.
So it
may not be a direct swap, but you're getting a kidney.
It's not a direct swap. Yeah. You just have to be able to convince somebody to, hey, look, if you donate your kidney, there's a kidney that does match me. They'll give it to me. And that's what Justin Zanuck's doing. And so he talks a lot about that. But this audio from Justin Zanuck is spectacular. This is Justin talking about his situation.
I got news about 3 weeks ago, and I now have a surgical date, April 2nd. They went into the registry, and there is a donor who is as good of a match as if it was from my own family. And so April 2nd, I have a kidney transplant. My wife had been telling me over the summer, this past summer, that she thought I was more tired. And I said, of course I'm tired. I'm the NBA general manager, and I've been across the Pacific twice and flown 25,000 miles over the period of 3 weeks. Did the physical. Everything was really, really good, except for one thing. My kidney function was at 14%. That is not good. That is technically kidney failure. And I kind of knew it from my family history. My dad was transplanted almost 21 years ago, still alive, doing great, in good health. He has a genetic disease called PKD, which stands for polycystic kidney disease. And I kind of always knew that I'd have to deal with it. Never knew that I actually had it, but knew that that could be a possibility. And obviously the doctors were surprised. I still felt the same. I hadn't had any events that would make me feel like I needed to go to the doctor. So I ended up doing a bunch of research. You know, your first thoughts are like, what's gonna happen to me? You know, what's dialysis like? When's that gonna happen? Transplant, all those things, you know, run through your mind. And what we wanted to do was, you know, get a transplant. There were a lot of things that we needed to do and learn about organ donation, transplant. And I think a lot of people just assume like organ donation is the box you check on your driver's license and, you know, if something happens to you. But what's really cool about medical technology now and science, and it's been going on for a while, is a living donor transplant. This system has allowed people access to better outcomes from organ transplant. You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you're just the people that you know, the people that in your circle. What's unfortunate with the genetic disease is that my family, which is usually a 50% chance of having a great match, weren't going to be eligible. So it was going to be me being okay with talking about it. And in my job and in my career, I've always been a fixer. I've always been the one that helps fix everything else and support. So it was hard for me at the beginning to talk about me needing to be fixed and needing help. But once I got over that, I started talking about it internally with our Jazz family and my family and friends. And the support and response was just humbling. I had a lot of people that you don't ever expect just saying, hey, I'll go get tested for you. Kidney transplants are one of those gifts that you can give to people to prolong their lives while you're still alive. And it was really interesting of just learning about the process and how streamlined it is and how it's been able to optimize outcomes for patients that extend their lives. There's a lot of assumptions of what people think organ donation is or think what a transplant is, or, you know, can you live your own life? Can you live a good life? Yes, I can live the same life that I have right now for a lot longer now. The recovery, they're supposed to kick me out of the hospital in 3 to 4 days. And then there's the recovery from the actual surgery, the incision and things like that. But mainly getting the levels right and the drugs right, because I'll be on anti-rejection drugs my entire life. That balancing part, but things go well. They say I can be back to work in 3 weeks, which is amazing. The scheduling of it really makes a lot of sense. We're about to finish the season. We'll have exit interviews and other things that I've basically been doing a little bit earlier this year. And then I'll be back before the combine when all of our pre-draft stuff. So this kind of month between the end of the season and when we start our pre-draft process is a perfect time for me to be to recover and come back and start watching workouts and be a part of the group. The lesson that I've learned, especially as you get older in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s, that it's really, really important to get a physical every year. There are just so many things that if you know that doctors and science and medical personnel can address, but you don't know, you don't feel, I didn't feel any different. I didn't, you know, you go and talk to everyone here, like a lot of people that don't know about this are gonna be shocked. It's like, go see your doctor, go see him once a year. And it's a pain sometimes. We're all busy. We have family and we have kids and we have our careers. And sometimes it's easy to just put that to the side about our own health, especially if we feel okay. And the best thing you can do to take care of yourself is to go have someone take a look. Do it once a year.
Once a year.
Whew, that's good stuff.
And by the way, I fall in that category of guys that just don't go see a doctor. Like,
yeah.
I don't.
I think all men do.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's good stuff that he just gave right there. And you know what's crazy to me, Scotty? Well, there's a lot of things crazy about that audio. Number one, Justin, we love you, man.
Yeah.
Really. I know I haven't spent a lot of time with you, but the time that I have spent, you just make people feel really good.
Yeah. I shot him off a text earlier this morning and just said, hey, don't respond to this. I know you got a lot going on. I just want you to know you're in my family's prayers. Your kids are in my family's prayers. Love you. And just shot right back, said, appreciate it, man.
He's just awesome.
He's just a genuinely good person in a business that doesn't necessarily facilitate good people.
Yeah. And that's all professional sports front offices.
Yeah.
It's hard to find good people in those offices. So that's number one with Justin. Number two, the fact that he's like, yeah, so it's pretty awesome because I'm getting my exit interviews done. I'm going to take a couple weeks and I'll be right back before draft.
Good as new.
I want people to think about that. Think about that. Like there's people out there that are avoiding work at all costs. There's people out there that if they were having a kidney transplant, They're taking 6 months.
Man.
And they're milking their employer for everything they're worth. There are people out there that would be like, hey, I've got this kidney thing, and I don't know, it's looking like a 4-5 month process. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, you're
and what's Justin saying? Justin's like, yeah, it's awesome.
I'll be back in the office in 3 weeks.
They're going to release me 3 days later, and then I'll be back in like 3 weeks.
I love it, man. He's our guy. Well, that's our people right there.
It gives me chills.
Yeah.
It gives me chills, and it makes me think about how lucky the three of us are. Now, you know me. I like to take my week, my couple weeks a year to go be with my wife because I like my time with my wife. I love being alone with her. I like being on trips, so I need that. But, dude, we work the greatest job on earth, and when we hear Justin Zanuck saying, 3 days, I'll be out of the hospital. 3 weeks, I'm back to work. It's like, man, I just love you.
Yeah.
I love everything about that interview. We could talk for hours about it because so many good things.
Just know, Justin, we got you. We love you. We know he listens. And you got this.
Yeah, we do love you, man.
All right, 1225. Craig Smith's going to join us coming up next. Yes, the Utes on their way to the NIT semifinals. We'll chat with the head coach of the University of Utah next on the Aggie Sports right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Evan Brennan joining us, NFL agent with the United Athletes Sports Agency. A lot of pride in the local fan bases here. In this year's draft, which of these fan bases is going to be fired up? Who might go pretty early in the draft, or is it too soon to know?
I think Kingsley at BYU is going to go pretty high, probably second, third round. We'll see if someone reaches even higher, but he's one of the freakiest offensive linemen in the whole draft. Cole Bishop is a guy that on the road all the time I was hearing about. He Bills at Utah, among many, many others. Utah's probably going to have more draft picks than BYU. I would say BYU will have one or two. Utah will have two, three, four, maybe even more. So I think BYU, you'll see represented at the top end, but Utah will be represented more and more and more and more. These are all good things for the local fans in the Beehive State.
Catch DJ and PK, mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It has been way too long since we've chatted with this guy, one of our favorite dudes on the planet, and he's on his way to Hinkle Fieldhouse, not Madison Square Garden, but they're going back to Indianapolis.
It's the Hinkle.
As Utah will square off against Indiana State in the NIT semifinals. The head coach of the Utes, Craig Smith, joining us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. It's been way too long. I do got to tell you, I love that Nirvana song that you had as kind of the lead-in, and it got me thinking, because I love music, any kind of music. And you talked about Hinkle Fieldhouse, and Brandon Haddock, one of our players, has been saying, Highway to Hinkle. and so a little play on words there, but it's been a fun ride here, and we practiced at 8 a.m. this morning, local time, so I don't have to tell you what time it is, your time, right now. So the guys are up and at them early, and, you know, it's fun. I've been doing this for a long, long time, and I remember at Mayville State when I was the head coach there, 32 teams make the national tournament, and the first round of the tournament, everybody's at one site. And the first round of the tournament's two full days. So the first game is at 8:30 in the morning, and the last game is like scheduled to start at 9:30. But we all know how that goes. It's usually 10:30, 10:45. And one of my years, my second year there, we played the 8:30 game, the very first day of the tournament. And so we started practicing at 5 a.m., you know, and we had a bunch of night owls on that team. And I was like, this could be interesting. But they were fired up, woke up early, no sleep in the eye. They're ready to go. And we had that same look this morning. So that was a great sign.
How's Indianapolis treating you, Coach?
Well, we got in. We practiced at Utah yesterday and hopped on the plane. And we got into the hotel about 8:30 last night. So I had some food for the guys. The scout team met with one of our coaches, Tramell Barnes, to go over some things. And We got a good night's sleep and up and at them. So, like I said, had a good practice earlier today, and now I've been just kind of hanging out a little bit with my family, but more so just getting ready. I watched some Georgia film. You know, if we can beat Indiana State, and believe me, that's going to be a very difficult game. On the other side of the bracket, we have Seton Hall and Georgia as well. So I've already watched Seton Hall and preparing for Georgia. And then on a personal note, my son Carson, we have four kids, Darcy and I. He committed to North Dakota State to play basketball.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was a pretty cool deal for him to be able to do it in Hinkle and just everything that goes with that and just the whole lead up to it. He's passionate about basketball. He loves it, and so it's fun to see his dedication and work ethic and all that kind of stuff pay off. I was an assistant at North Dakota State for 3 years. So Dave Richmond and I have known each other for a long time, and it's a perfect fit.
Oh, man. I can't imagine how cool that is as a dad when you see that come across and the opportunities that are going to come from it. That's really cool. Congratulations to you and Darcy and him.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been an amazing journey, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, So from a selfish standpoint, I'm not going to lie, Coach. We're going to go back. We're going to backtrack a little bit. When I see you and Ryan Odom and Bairstow and Shulga all competing against each other, that threw me for a loop. That was a weird one for me.
Well, I think it was for everybody. You know, that's close to the program. You know, close to the Utah State program. You know, when the brackets came out, my son Brady, who actually plays at Salt Lake Community College, he had medical hardship with a fractured orbital, but Brady's going to be a big part of this question. You know, being the head coach at Utah State, and I did not know Ryan. Obviously, I left, you know, to be the head coach at Utah, and Ryan becomes the next head coach. So immediately you have a bond. Right. I mean, I'll always remember my first year at Utah State. We go play at the Marriott Center, right? Play at BYU, and we lose. And we were just coming off some big wins. And Stu Morrill sent me a text, Coach, don't get too down. Everybody's been in those shoes. Anybody that's coached at the University of Utah, at Utah State, you know, has felt what you're going through right now. You got a good team. Stay with it. Don't be discouraged. Stay positive. Keep going. I always remember that. For him to reach out and say something like that. So there's always a brotherhood there. And then my son Brady was in between his junior and senior year of high school, and he wanted to stay. Logan Brown's the new coach at Green Canyon. And so Brady stayed with my oldest son, Landon, who's about to graduate from Utah State. He's student teaching right now. He's got 3 weeks left. So he's going to graduate. He stayed with Landon's best friend's parents. In Logan. And so, but he really got to know Owen, Odom, Coach Odom, Lucia, the whole family, Connor, and he stayed overnight so many times there, they just nicknamed the spare bedroom Brady's room. I think they actually put a sign up that said Brady's room in the house. And so, you know, Darcy and I are forever indebted to them for taking him in during a hard time. And welcoming with open arms. He always says, Brady, you can walk on a VCU if you want. And so anyway, it was super cool. And Brady and Owen spoke it into existence. When the brackets came out, they're like, oh, man, this is going to happen. And sure enough, it did. So it's always, you know, hard when you play against friends. And, of course, he wanted to beat our butt, and we wanted to beat theirs, you know, and earn victory. But it's always can be difficult. And then you throw in the layer, you know, that we recruited Sean Bairstow and coached him for 2 years and recruited Max Shulga and coached him for a year. And I did a home visit in Brisbane, Australia with Sean and his entire family, except for the one brother. And I forget his name, Cam, that played in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Cam was the only sibling that was not there. And Sean's mom, Penny, you know, is a coach. I told this story. I don't know if you heard it. I had never liked salmon. I just had never liked it. So you fly all the way there, and I went right to the house to do the visit. You know, you're a little groggy and a little jet lag. And we do the whole deal. I do the presentation. Then it's time to serve dinner. And here comes salmon. And I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, you can't not, right? You got to, I mean, so I ate it. It was a it was incredible. Like, ever since that point, now I love salmon. So I got to thank Penny for that, because it's one of the go-tos in the diet. So it was cool. It was great to catch up with him after the game. I followed him very closely. I look at every box score, think the world of both those guys. They're great players, but even better people.
So, Coach, when you guys get this NIT opportunity, you accept the bid and you move into competition, I'm just curious, how important was this level of success for you in that moment and what you guys are currently going through?
Well, I think it's been great for our program. You know, we had some real highs and we had some really tough times, as most teams go through, most teams, not all. You know, I feel like we had to kind of reinvent our team a few different times for a multitude of reasons. You know, a lot of the year we played with 9 scholarships, 10 scholarship guys, and that's just how it goes sometimes in athletics. And I thought we were playing pretty good basketball to end the year, although we had a couple tough losses on the road late. You know, Brandon Carlson gets hurt when we're up 8 on Oregon with about 17 to go. But, you know, and we were still on the bubble almost all year, right, until the very end. And I thought that said something about our team. And so, you know, when we got the invitation, there was really no doubt in my mind that we're going to play basketball. Like, the opportunity to play games and to compete. You know, when we were talking about North Dakota State, and I was an assistant there for 3 years. I always remember this, and I'm going to put this up, but we're kind of rebranding our office area. And in the weight room at North Dakota State, and I think, Hans, you would really appreciate this, in the weight room, and we're big into the weight room as a program, but it had this big, you know, Bison logo, and it said, bring on the competition. And it's never too late. And we always try to recruit real competitors, guys that love to compete, not just play. Right? There's some guys that love to play, but then other guys love to compete. And you got to get guys that love to play and compete is the key. And so I asked a lot of the guys, and they were almost to a man, like, yes, we want to keep playing. And it wasn't, you know, it was hard, you know, when you lose to Colorado in that conference tournament, and you know you're not going to make the NCAA tournament. And almost to a man, they wanted to keep playing because they were like, this is the closest knit team I've ever been a part of. And all these guys come from different experiences, right, and different backgrounds. And so I thought that kind of galvanized us. And, you know, obviously we were able to play 3 games at home, and you start gaining a little bit of momentum and confidence. And we got a couple guys that I would say are playing their best basketball of the year right now. So at the end of the day, you know, I said this post-game press conference, like, whether it's a team or a season or in life, everybody has to run their own race. And you don't know what that race is. And, you know, some people are born on third base. They think they hit a triple. Some people, we all got to go through our own story. And I think it's important. Don't worry about comparisons, right? Comparisons is the thief of joy. You just got to own your race, run your race to the very best that you can. And the results will take care of themselves. So at the end of the day, there's 362 teams in Division I. And we're one of 8 teams playing. And our race is, we made it to this Final Four. And we're excited to compete against a really good Indiana State team.
We got to get you. You need me to overnight you some of the voice spray? What do I got to do to help you out here a little bit?
I got my wife always buys in bulk. The problem is she really tries to coach me up sometimes, and I'm not always the best listener. She just tried to call in on this interview, and she's probably reminding me, take the voice spray. I have 2 of them in my backpack. But I need to take it out and just put it, you know, in the hotel room right on the corner so I don't forget. So I'm gonna do that right now while we're speaking.
I used to be,
you know, I carry it with me everywhere. And she always says, use the Scotty G voice spray.
Yep. Works like magic. Absolutely. Hey, you're up against everybody. I mean, I would have loved to have seen what this guy, the attention he would have got in the NCAA tournament, but Indiana State loses to Drake in their Missouri Valley Conference tournament. And so they're in the NIT, but Robbie Avia, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, as everybody has called him, he's been, you know, kind of a novelty, but then when you sit back and actually watch him play, he is such a phenomenal talent. Just kind of talk about what you've seen on film and the issues that he's going to cause for your team.
True. truth. I think he has three nicknames. I don't know all of them. I think I know two of them. But he's good. He's really good. And their team accentuates him as well. They're just a complete team. But he is he's just a very unique player. You know, he's a little bit different than a guy that we have, Brandon Carlson, but there's definitely some similarities. You know, he's listed at 6'10", I think 230, 235, can really, really shoot it. He's an elite passer. You know, for the BYU fans out there, he's got some similarities to their starting center, Khalifa, who is just a magician with the ball. So he's an elite, and we played BYU, right, in December. And so he's just so hard to prepare for because he's constantly picking and popping. So now you got to work on your rotations, your stunts, your help side. They do a great job of what we call burning the stunt guy. So they're always diving. You know, as good a shooter as he is, he's a better passer. He sees the floor like a point guard. And so when you have that, you know, he's got a little Jokic in him, right? And I know that's like a huge, but like that's kind of how he plays. And so puts a lot of pressure. And then the way they've built around them, you know, their four-man, who's a high-level guy, they were high school teammates, actually, and I believe they both transferred in there. His last name is Kent, but his nickname is Cutter. He's an elite cutter. He kind of, you know, Justin Bean was such a great cutter. Like, he's kind of like that, where he's constantly cutting and moving and gets two offensive boards a game. And then they have three guards that are all three-level scorers. They get to the rim, they shoot pull-ups, they can really shoot it from the three. So they just put a ton of pressure on you, and they're dynamic. They're very, very athletic and fast. So they put a lot of pressure on you that way. But when you have a five that can really stretch you, all five of their starters have made 35 threes or more. 50% of their shots are from the three. They make over 11 a game at 38%. So they're very good that way. And, you know, it's neutral at Hinkle, right, the home of Hoosiers. However, the Indiana State campus is 71 miles from Hinkle. So we use the term neutral loosely because it's a sold-out crowd. So it's going to be a great vibe in Hinkle Arena tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, 5 o'clock tip here on ESPN. You can watch that thing, and I would suggest you get out there and watch it. Coach, I want to talk just a second about Daylon Smith because – his eligibility and his whole year has been quite the story to follow. Talk about what he's meant to the team. Will you talk a little bit about what the struggle was to get him eligible and then what he's meant to the team and maybe even the records that he's putting up with the Pac-12 triple-doubles?
Yeah, so first of all, interesting enough, you know, he's a two-time transfer, so that was the struggle. He started out his career, I believe he was a top 50 player out of high school, and, you know, I don't get crazy into the rankings. The fans do. But he went to Mississippi State during the COVID year with Ben Hallen. And he's from Atlanta, Georgia. Just wasn't feeling it. Transferred home to Georgia Tech. Played there 2 years. We actually played Georgia Tech in our MTE last year. So we prepared for him. And we saw on film, I mean, this guy's really dynamic. Got hurt. Missed all of February at Georgia Tech. So he comes to the University of Utah, two-time transfer. So at that time, right, you had to sit out. He applied for a waiver, and then while he was going through the waiver process, right, the NCAA cleared all two-time transfers. And so we just slowly, you know, worked him into the lineup. He played right away, but obviously he was a little tentative and, you know, kind of working the cobwebs out, so to speak. And then, you know, Raleigh Wooster, so he was playing a lot, and I thought we were really starting to find our rhythm. I think we beat UCLA by 46 or something like that. And then Wooster goes down. And so now, you know, Davon's our exclusively our point guard, and it's just, you know, he's just really starting to thrive. He played some point guard at Georgia Tech, but not exclusively. And obviously some of the numbers he's been able to put up have been tremendous. But I think he has 5 triple-doubles. I think he missed another one by 1 assist or 1 rebound in the conference tournament. And so he set a record for the Pac-12 with most triple-doubles in a season. And like Brandon Carlson said, I don't think that one will get broken. And so he's done some amazing things. He's just super dynamic, 45-inch vertical, super, super fast in transition, well, all the time. And so It's been fun to see his progression. And like I said, he's been playing his best basketball of the year, specifically the last 3 weeks.
Well, Coach, I know you're a history guy. We would talk about the history of basketball all the time back in the day, and the stuff that you enjoy and where you've been and all that stuff. I know Madison Square Garden would have been really cool, but this isn't a bad consolation prize to be playing in the old Hoosier gym.
Well, it's awesome to still be playing. Certainly, you know, Indiana loves basketball. The state of Indiana, I mean, people love basketball here. And I compared it, you know, this morning at the press conference, the state of Utah loves basketball. I mean, basketball junkies. And so it's an historic venue. When we drove up, you know, I'd always heard it and I'd never seen it. You're just driving through a resident. It'd be like driving in the middle of Bountiful. And all of a sudden you turn a corner and there's Hinkle, like just in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of like, what? And it's old school. I mean, it just looks like this huge, I don't know, it's hard to describe it, like you would think. I mean, it's just kind of like what you think. And you walk in there, and we were the first team to practice, and it was very serene, just very peaceful, but yet you can just kind of feel it and the vibe of it when we walked in. And it's kind of a blessing to be able to walk in there, and no other team was on before us. They're not rushing another team off and us on. We could just kind of take our time, do the stretches. And we had a great, like I said, we had a great practice. And so it's really cool. Obviously the movie Hoosiers, which I try to watch once a year. And, you know, I asked a couple of the guys, hey, did you guys bring the tape measure? They had no clue what I was talking about. No clue. And then some other guys were like, you know, like Gabe Mattson and Brandon Carlson, like, guys, are you serious? You've never watched Hoosiers? And so anyway, it is really cool to be at a historic venue in a state that truly loves basketball, and going against the home team, you know, for all intents and purposes, the home team. And there's a connection with the University of Utah, right? Larry Bird played at Indiana State. And in all these games that I'm watching, and I'm old school, I don't watch clips. I watch the whole game. They talk about that team. And, of course, Indiana State played Michigan State with Magic Johnson in the Huntsman Center. So there is kind of a, in some ways, like a full circle moment that way. And that's a really cool thing.
Well, Coach, good luck. We appreciate it. Thanks for hopping on. I know you had a busy day today, but
means
a lot that you do this for us. And again, go get him tomorrow. Should be a lot of fun.
It's always my pleasure, and thanks for having me on. And I'm looking forward to a barbecue sometime soon. I know we say this every year.
We say it every year.
We have to make it happen. So I appreciate you guys. Go Utes.
You got it. There he is, Craig Smith.
Thank you.
Head coach of the University of Utah.
Let's go. Bring him up.
Let's go.
All right. Let's go. Let me hear it.
I know the two nicknames. He says there was three.
Yeah.
I know Larry Blurred and.
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, you haven't heard
I've
that?
I've just heard Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, there's Larry Blurred. And for those of you that haven't seen, he wears these gigantic
goggles. Oh, my gosh.
Goggles.
Yeah.
But I don't know the third one. Lloyd, have you heard the third one?
Apparently not. We'll have to go digging into that. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, 12:52. Take a break, which you may have missed. And we'll continue on next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Buddy. Hold this under the backboard.
What is it?
15 feet.
15 feet. Strap, put Ollie on your shoulders.
Measure this from the rim. Buddy?
How far?
10 feet.
10 feet.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present...
This is JJ and Alex.
Jay Stevens, Utah Puck Report is the podcast you can go listen to yourself.
The writing is on the wall. I mean, there's $1 billion just approved through legislation. I think the state sees it, the city sees it as an opportunity to kind of revitalize downtown Salt Lake City. So even the people that aren't hockey fans are on board. The NHL really seems to like Ryan Smith. So you just start putting all those pieces together and it just looks like it's inevitable. And that's how I see it. I see like, this is something that's happened. This train's coming. You should get on board and enjoy it and then be able to say I was there from the beginning.
Catch JJ and Alex afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Time for a quick edition of what you may have missed. Joel Wetzel is going to join us coming up next. Sports editor of the Vindicator and the Tribune Chronicle. We'll talk to him about what's going on with the newest addition of the head coach at Utah State and get his thoughts. He's covered Youngstown State, so we'll get some thoughts from him coming up here in just a moment.
Our food bracket's down to four foods.
Yep.
Donuts versus jerky and hot dogs versus Slurpee.
You know what? We should ask Craig about this. Craig could have gone on a long time about this.
He likes gas station food?
I could see him doing a very intricate breakdown on gas station food.
Yeah. Hot dogs are going to be coming out of this thing. It's just the oldest throwback to gas station stop, man. It's nostalgic. It's everything that we used to do. You know, back in the Idaho days, Scotty, it was 3 for 1. 3 gas station hot dogs for a buck.
Yeah. And then you get that nasty cheese on it.
Yep.
And a little ketchup and cheese. I wasn't a big mustard guy back in the day.
But if they had mayonnaise, I would just cover the thing in mayonnaise.
You still put mayonnaise on hot dogs?
I still put mayonnaise on hot dogs.
I do too.
I love mayonnaise.
I know we're gonna get absolute, but I will die on that hill with you. I'm here with you on that.
Oh, mayonnaise on a hot dog is so delicious. I'm sorry, but
hot dog is the food of like Utah. I mean, I remember going to RC Willie's and getting my free hot dog.
Oh yeah,
buying some furniture. Yeah. They used to be a thing.
Ours was Les Schwab. Dad would take us.
Remember Les Schwab. Dad, is that an Idaho thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yep. No, that's an Idaho thing.
Dad would take us to Les Schwab. We'd get a hot dog.
Is there no Les Schwabs in Utah?
No, there is, but I didn't know about the hot dog.
Oh yeah, no, that was a big thing. They'd always have the hot dogs going.
So you can go to KSLSports.com and vote on those. I think it's going to come down to hot dog and donut, but I could be wrong. If jerky beats donut, I quit. I'm not. I'm
what?
Done. No, if jerky
that's
should not have
crazy.
Jerky should not advance
jerky.
This far. I know, but it gets stuck in your teeth and it's good
it's
for
too,
you.
It's too expensive.
It's too expensive.
Take the expense out of it.
Yeah, jerky.
Don't worry about the expense.
Not happy about jerky. Hey, the other quick thing, I did want to mention this because we were talking about NC State. You've got the Wolfpack sweater on.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to give some people just some real quick background on the 11 seeds because it's just, I don't know. I guess I like stupid knowledge on these stupid things. But, you know, the 11 seed isn't that out of bounds.
Like, no,
it's not
at all.
That crazy. We had an 11 seed in the Final Four just in 2021.
Yep.
UCLA made it in 2021. Loyola Chicago was probably the most improbable, and they made it in 2018. That was, Sister Mary?
Yeah, the old lady, yeah.
So NC State's run is pretty incredible. They had to beat Texas Tech. They beat Oakland, who was a nice upset move into the round of 32. They beat Marquette, their best win.
Oh, yeah, by far.
By far. And then they beat Duke just last night.
Yep.
So there are 6 number 11 seeds that have reached the Final Four. That actually is shocking to me. That's 6 11 seeds that have reached the Final Four. That's since the full field of 64.
Yeah.
So 1985 or so. And 6 of those have come in the last 20 years. There has never been a lower seed than number 11 to make it to the Final Four. This is the lowest seed that's ever made it, is an 11 seed. But here's the problem. 11 seeds?
Don't make it to the championship game.
0-6.
Yeah.
In Final Four play.
Yeah, this might be where it ends. I would love to see it keep rolling.
They have never advanced to a national championship.
I'm telling you, though, after living in Raleigh and being on that campus for a while, the fact that they are in the Final Four is cool as hell. The fact they beat Duke to get to the Final Four, ooh.
Again, right? Didn't they have to beat Duke in the...
In 83?
No, in the
The ACC tournament?
I thought they beat Duke in the ACC tournament, didn't they?
That's a good question.
I think they've beat Duke twice in like the last month or something.
Duke looked really pedestrian in that game.
Yeah, they did.
By the way, down the stretch.
They did. Their big man fouled out.
They lost to him in the ACC tournament, 74-69.
So NC State's beat them twice,
Yep. Which
is just sweet justice.
Oh, man. People there having a heyday with that. Speaking of which, Big T Thurl Bailey, member of the NC State team, the last time NC State went to the Final Four and ended up winning the whole thing, will join us coming up today at 2:05. We'll talk about the new head coach at Utah State coming up next. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.